Welcome back, everyone, to Finding the Middle Path, Be Drama-Free Through DBT. In this episode, we're going to continue our journey in acceptance and talk about the skills turning the mind and willingness over willfulness. Let's get walking. Our first skill is called turning the mind. In order to understand this skill, you have to do a little bit of visualization. So imagine acceptance is kind of like coming to a fork in the road. On one hand, you have the acceptance road, and on the other hand, you have the rejecting reality road. In the graphics supplied in the DBT Skills Manual for Adolescents, they show the road is coming to both, is coming to the same place at the end. The acceptance road is nice and straight, and the rejecting reality road basically looks like a roller coaster. So it's got ups and downs, it's got a little twirly, but then it ends up at the same spot. So imagine that graphic in your head. Those are the two roads that you're choosing. They're both going to end up in the same spot. You want to be able to get yourself to continue on the acceptance road. So for that, you use the skill, turning the mind. There's two simple steps. First, you have to notice that you're not accepting reality. Everyone has different cues for them to notice about themselves that they aren't accepting reality. For a lot of people, feeling anger is a cue that they're not accepting reality. Myself, I get a little bit snappy, we might say. I get a little snappy at other people, then that is my own cue to notice that I'm not accepting reality. So whatever you notice about yourself, those are your own personal cues that you can remember to look for to figure out whether or not you are being accepting of the reality that you're in. After you've noticed that you're not accepting reality, the second step is to make an inner commitment to accept. And that can look a lot of different ways for yourself. So for me personally, I just say, I've made the decision to accept this. I'm gonna keep going. That's all. That's all that I have to do. Sometimes it helps to verbalize it. A lot of times our words have a lot of power, and if we hear it, it makes it more motivating for us to continue on that acceptance road. But you don't have to verbalize it if you don't want to. And that's it. Those are the only two steps. The key or the trick is that you might have to turn your mind over and over and over again in a short amount of time. It's like I tell the teenagers at work, if you have to remind yourself every 5 minutes that you've chosen to be accepting, that's okay. That's using this skill. Whatever you say to yourself to make it so that you get from this point to the next point and continue on that accepting reality road, the nice, clear, straight, non-roller coaster one, then that's what works for you. Super simple skill, turning the mind. So when you're on your accepting road, sometimes some things might get in the way. What might get in the way? Well, there are a couple of things. Number one, beliefs sometimes can get in the way. Some people might believe that if you accept your painful situation, you're just going to become weak and give up or give in. Another popular belief is if you accept the reality, that means that you approve of the reality or whatever it is happening. Or that if you accept this, you're accepting a life of pain. So those are some beliefs that might get in the way. The second thing, which I found is a lot more common, is that emotions get in the way. Our emotions are very powerful, and quite often they will get in the way of us doing the things that are best for us. Some emotions that someone might be feeling that might get in the way are intense anger at the person or the group that caused the painful event, unbearable sadness, guilt about your own behavior. You know, if you feel guilty about something that you've done, you don't want to accept it because then you have to admit that you did it. There could also be a little bit of shame regarding something about you that makes it so that you don't want to accept reality. Or finally, just rage about the injustice of the world. Things aren't fair, and a lot of times it feels like everything is just falling down upon you and you alone. So if you have beliefs or emotions that get in your way, what do we do then? Well, our next skill helps us with that. Okay, and the skill is willingness over willfulness. So the key is you want to identify your willful actions and replace them with willing actions. Some willful examples are refusing to tolerate the moment, giving up, trying to change something that cannot be changed, or refusing to change something that must be changed, or finally, the terrible twos. You know what I'm talking about, those two-year-olds that just say no to everything. Some willingness examples are doing just what is needed, no more, no less, listening to your wise mind, being effective, allowing the world to be what it is, and still participating in it fully. The easiest way to show you how this skill works is to give an example. So I will give you an example from my workplace. A lot of times, the teenagers that come to us do not want to be there. I mean, let's face it, who wants to spend 6 to 9 months of their life in a treatment center? Not very many people, right? So they will refuse to tolerate the moment by refusing to go to groups. If they go to the group, they will refuse to participate in the group, so they'll just sit out. All of those things are examples of refusing to tolerate the moment. What they want to do then is replace those willful actions with willing actions. So doing just what is needed, no more, no less, would be going to group even if you don't want to do it. So even if you're really not feeling like doing Just Dance, you still go and you do just what is required. So you move a little bit. You don't have to dance your heart out in order to get all your points for the hour, but you go and you move a little bit. Or if you're going to a treatment group, you go, and even if you don't want to share things that are super personal to you, you read aloud or you share the easy, simple things, right? Those are all examples of replacing willfulness with willingness. So using turning the mind in the workplace is pretty simple. Not every day is going to be the best day. Not every day is going to be an easy day. So on those difficult days, turning the mind means telling yourself, this is temporary. I just need to get through this day and tomorrow will be better, or something to that effect. And you can either tell yourself that in your head or you can tell yourself that verbally, whichever works best for you. That's how you use turning the mind in the workplace, to accept the reality of the moment and just get through it and get to a different moment. Willingness over willfulness has a lot of different applications in the workplace. A lot of times, in order to figure out what the willing path is, you have to find whatever it is, either emotions or beliefs, that are getting in the way of being accepting, and challenge those things. So for me, in the past, not so much now, but in the past, one belief that I had was that my way was the only way to do things, or my way was the best way to do things. And so that belief led me to have a terrible case of the terrible twos, where I would just say, no, we're not going to do it this way, we're doing it this way. We're not going to do your idea, we're only going to do my idea, so on and so forth. So challenging that belief means to be open to the ideas of other people, especially if they're using a different strategy than me. And even if it means going with their strategy alone and abandoning my strategy because theirs is better, or putting the two strategies together and finding the ultimate strategy. Those things were things that I struggled with, but I've gotten a lot better as I've gotten a lot older and become more open-minded. Another thing is to be willing to adapt. So the world, everything around us, things are always changing. Beliefs are changing, norms are changing, all sorts of things are changing. So being willing to look at the changes and adapt to them helps in being willing. Another one is to agree to disagree. And this is more thinking about when you're working with teenagers. So teenagers are very, very, they want to be right, or they know how things are, and they don't want to listen to you necessarily sometimes. So a lot of times agreeing to disagree is very helpful, and that's part of being willing. Don't get into power struggles. That's the other part, is that if there's nothing you can say that's going to change the situation, you just have to learn not to get into that struggle and walk away from it. Just agree to disagree. The last thing is asking for help when you need it. A lot of us have this belief that if we ask for help, we're going to look incompetent or we're going to look weak. And that's just absolutely not true. So if you don't know how to do something, being willing means asking for help rather than just trying to figure it out on your own. That would be more of the willfulness part. The final part is making changes that you know need to be made. Sometimes change is hard. All the time change is hard, pretty much. So when you realize that something about yourself or something about the situation that you're in needs to be changed, even if it's going to be difficult, be willing to find small ways to make those changes. All of those things are examples of being willing over willful in the workplace. Okay, now for the teens and these skills, being willing is difficult. The key to this with teenagers is to be a gentle guidance person. They're not going to do what you tell them to do. They want to be able to come to their own decisions. And by that, they might actually choose to be willing if you're able to guide them to that decision and they feel like it's their own solution themselves. Basically, they want to feel empowered. They want to feel like they are in charge of their own lives. You know, most people want to feel like that, but teenagers especially want to feel like that. So if you are able to find a way to help them get to the willing answer on their own, that makes things a lot easier, both for you and a lot better for them. Willful actions never lead up with good consequences that they want, the things that they want to happen. So it actually is good for the both of you if you're able to gently guide them in the right direction so that they're able to make those own decisions themselves. Another really helpful thing is taking little steps. Sometimes the whole picture for a teenager is really overwhelming. You know, if we mentioned before that that part of their brain where they can clearly see consequences and how one thing leads to another isn't fully formed. So that picture is really fuzzy. It's really undefined and it's not something that they can necessarily understand. They know how to take the small steps though. If you help them learn how to take little tiny steps that get to that fuzzy undefined future that they can't quite see, that's, again, good for both of you guys. It's good for them, and it's also good for you because it makes your job easier and you're helping this person become a new person or the person that they ultimately would want to be. The last thing, and this goes for the teenagers and it actually goes for adults as well, is to help remind them or to remind them that acceptance does not mean approval. You don't have to like the situation. All you have to do is get through it. I think that's an important thing to remember for all the acceptance skills is just because you have to accept it in the moment, it doesn't mean that you approve of the reality. So you can think of a lot of things in the world that you think are unfair or unjust, and acceptance of the fact that those things exist doesn't mean that you have to approve of those things existing. It also doesn't mean that you're never going to do anything to change those things in the future. What it does mean is that approving the reality means you're going to work within the confines that you have right now to try and get to a future where you can change things and make things differently. So that's an important thing to remember, is that just because you have chosen to travel the acceptance road right now, that doesn't mean that that's going to be the true reality for you in the future. Things could be changing. As I said one slide before, or a few minutes before, everything is always changing. And we have to be able to adapt and learn how to work within the confines that we have in order to get to a reality that we like a little bit better. And yeah, that's just one of the things you have to remember about acceptance. Since this was a two-parter on acceptance, I wanted to give you a little bit of a reminder on all the things that we've learned about accepting reality. So the first step is to decide if acceptance is even necessary using the five options of response. So the options are solve the problem, change how you feel about the problem, accept the situation, make things worse, and stay miserable. So all of those things are your options of response whenever a serious crisis comes into your life. The second thing is to remember that acceptance of reality is often something that requires an act of choice. So you have to make choices and take actions in order to be completely accepting of your reality. You want to use your body while you're being accepting to create an accepting mindset. We talked about half smile and deep breathing, so using those things to make sure that you are in a completely accepting mind frame. Today we talked about practicing willingness over willfulness, and we gave some examples of that. And finally, after using all of those things, you'll probably find that you have to turn your mind back to the accepting reality road over and over and over again. Okay, that is all that I've got for you today. All the information I shared with you is taken from the DBT Skills Manual for Adolescents by Jill Rathis and Alec Miller. Thank you so much for listening, for continuing to listen, and for taking the time to learn coping skills. Well, we'll see you next time when we walk the middle path and be drama-free through DBT.